Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, COVID-19 has put global trade at an inflection point as many countries have taken a protectionist stance. However, global trade is essential in economic recovery and businesses need to ensure it continues to be a positive force. The world is at the precipice of radical transformation in the supply chain and trade finance industry. And the good news is that the technology is already available, blockchain, which has been available for years and has shown real tangible results for leaders in trade finance. Now today we're joined by Amit Ghosh, who's the head of Asia Pacific at R3, an enterprise blockchain technology firm. Amit, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
Looking forward to hearing your insights on blockchain. Now, the first thing, let's start off with, what flaws has COVID-19 revealed in the trade finance industry in APEC?
That's a great question. And even before, you know, COVID-19 struck, we were already seeing deteriorating trade relations across the globe. You know, nationalism and regionalism on the rise. Mm-hmm. You're seeing constraints in resiliency. And I think COVID actually put much of that into stress a lot more. Right? What we see and what has always plagued the industry a little bit is inefficient processes, you know, the use of paper a lot in doing trade, especially cross-border. And the fact that, you know, much of these institutions who are involved in the trade journey are not working on one common platform or one common system, right? So I think these have been the challenges. As we look at from an R3 perspective into the opportunity to actually digitize trade, we see that there is an immense opportunity for us to improve visibility and flexibility across the trade value chain. And then there are various examples, even here in Singapore, where, you know, financial institutions like DBS or others are taking the leap in going in that direction.
How fixable are these issues, though, Amit? You're here, you're speaking about blockchain. What part does that play in all of this?
We remain very positive about, you know, the opportunity here to fix many of these issues with technology and with the right technology, and blockchain being one part of the technology stack which we think about, right? Our technology, Corda, which works very in sync with other technology suites as well, right? So I think we remain very positive. I think from a blockchain perspective, really, you know, what we bring to the ecosystem now is an ability to share data and make sure it is private. When you and I are transacting, we maintain privacy to us and not share data broadly. What blockchain enables is immutability of data, so that data cannot be tampered once, you know, it has been recorded, which effectively, you know, if you are doing this paper-based, there is a lot of fraud, there is disputes, there's the need for reconciliation of data. I think that those are the problems we are solving. In the global trade context, is this a six-month journey? No, but, you know, is this fixable? Absolutely. And I think that journey has started for especially the leading forward-looking institutions in the globe. And I think we are seeing more and more interest come our way, both from, I would say, financial institutions, corporates, and especially in this part of the world, from the government as well. And Singapore is a great example of what the government does to digitize trade overall, I would say.
And, you know, just following on from that and talking about digitizing trade, and you mentioned, you know, forward-looking companies or, you know, whether it's actions that are being taken. From your perspective, what is the new reality for global trade? What's it going to look like?
Yeah, so the first and foremost, what we are hearing is the need to be very digital or highly digital is a lot more, right? I think in some cases, you know, institutions had a choice earlier, and I think COVID-19 especially has put that choice into question and almost forced the question, you know, you have to do it, and, you know, can we postpone this for much?
When you're speaking about being digital, because digital is a very broad spectrum, so maybe you can provide us with some examples or some good examples that, you know, companies or industry players can implement to help them with on their path to digitization as, you know, we enter into this new reality.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, going back to your original question, and then I'll give you some examples.
Perfect.
As well. I think the new normal is, you know, digitization being required, not optional. The second, I think we are seeing, especially with the trade tensions and the trade wars going on right now globally, I think we'll see, you know, large supply hubs like China potentially get a little bit disrupted, and other smaller hubs in the region, especially coming up and filling the gap. That's most likely. I think we are also seeing the need for supply chain resiliency a lot more, and clients coming to us and talking about how to use our blockchain platform to help them in that journey. And then, you know, supply chain traceability is also a very important topic. So a few examples of, you know, what clients are doing. So I briefly mentioned DBS earlier. DBS is a leading and very forward-looking institution in Singapore, you know, our biggest bank here. And they are embarking on a journey with one of our partner companies, Contour, to digitize the letter of credit process using blockchain technology, especially ours technology, right? And Contour was formed as a consortium of financial institutions, you know, other leading institutions like HSBC, Standard Chartered Bank, and in the region, Bangkok Bank and others are all party to that project and company. But, you know, DBS is already a very digital bank, right? But they're also going further and leveraging the power of the blockchain technology to digitize the letter of credit application. Nearby in Thailand, another example, right? There we have two large institutions in Thailand, the Siam Commercial Bank and Siam Cement Group, both large institutions. They are digitizing, or they have digitized already, the procure-to-pay process, where essentially they are bringing Siam Cement Group's 10,000 suppliers, which are actually SME suppliers. So, you know, these are small companies who didn't have access to credit flows from the banks because, you know, they were not digital enough. They were not on a digital platform. So bringing all of those smaller suppliers onto a common platform, which gives the bank a lot more right information to assess the risk of some of the smaller companies and hence allows them to offer credit. And on the other hand, you know, it really helps Siam Cement Group in that case to cut the cost of, you know, interacting with these suppliers, right? Because it's one platform. You know, in that case, with so many parties in the solution, really what blockchain is providing and what Corda, which is our trace technology, is providing is a common shared truth at any point of time, enabled by, you know, the privacy which is needed and required by financial institutions or large corporates, scalability which you need for Corda and any blockchain platform or any technical platform to operate, right?
Okay.
So I think those are two examples in Singapore and in nearby Thailand, but I can keep going on.
I'm sure. We're speaking to Amit Ghosh, head of Asia Pacific at R3. And you know, that said, Amit, if blockchain technology has shown measurable results, I mean, you've given us some examples or digitization examples, but, you know, looking back at improving trade finance, why would you say then certain banks or perhaps large institutions within APAC are unwilling to adopt the technology?
Our view, and we speak to most of the leading institutions, even those where you haven't seen press announcements yet, but our view is that they are all on their journey to adopt. They're taking a thoughtful approach. Nobody has dismissed the technology, but, you know, technology and any technology choices has to be married with the current strategy of the company, the current priorities of the company. So that's one. A technology which is as transformative as blockchain requires a thoughtful approach to, you know, embedding and adopting within each institution. So what we are seeing companies talk to us about is the value this technology and the applications you can build on this technology provide to them, and the time to value, really, right? So it isn't a five-year journey. It is a 6-12-month journey for many of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I think, you know, it's important for any institution to look at how easy is it to use this technology. And we thought about that when we were designing Corda. You know, we built it on existing languages and using existing technology frameworks, which are well-recognized and well-used in the industry. But the ease of use of technology is important, right? Otherwise, this becomes a lofty goal for existing developers in the banks or the corporates or the government. And finally, I would say, you know, compatibility and an ability for any new technology to work with legacy systems. Large institutions have made significant investments in systems which they've already put in place. You know, they will evolve things occasionally incrementally and and sometimes in a very radical fashion. But, you know, often enough, any new system has to work with what already exists, right, in a big way. So, for example, if we are building a trade finance application, in some way, it has to work with the payments application, which already exists in the bank. Right?
So really what you're saying, Amit, sorry, is that, you know, the new reality would possibly be an amalgamation of solutions.
Yes, absolutely. And is blockchain being a critical piece of the technology stack, but not the only thing.
I see. So for institutions that are listening into this or companies that are listening into this interview, how can they take this? And they're very early on in their digitization journey. What's the first step that you would say that they need to take to move things forward?
Yes, give us a call, first of all. That's one. Secondly, I would say, you know, it's important to know what you're getting into. So we always advise our clients to understand what the technology is and what it isn't, right? You know, 5-10 years back when there was a lot of hype, you know, people actually misused the technology or misclaimed in some sense, you know, what blockchain could do or any other technology. So what we advise our clients and what we help our clients with is, you know, workshops where we talk about what blockchain is broadly, but what R3 SCADA platform is, so that they understand where it can be applied and how it can be applied and how it fits in. And then we discuss the value which it can provide to them and the time to value, as I said. So I think, you know, understanding this technology and how it fits into their strategy, their priorities and their roadmap is critical for adoption.
Well, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Thank you. We've been speaking to Amit Ghosh, head of Asia Pacific at R3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.